Okay, we're back with my co-host Bill Hubbard, who's actually even more of a celebrity and a VIP than Paul McCartney. You would have got into that party, wouldn't you?
Who?
Exactly. So. And also Josh Mahoney, market analyst for IG Index.
And I'll be hosting.
They let you in. They also let you in.
I'll be hosting the party, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Tiger. Who's Tiger anyway?
I don't know what party we're talking about.
It's like rapper. This rapper didn't
To be honest, a bloke his age shouldn't be going to those kind of parties. He should be getting into the sort of the old celebrity vibes with the jazz.
Skittles.
Yeah, that was exactly, yeah.
It was a bit embarrassing.
A bit of Ghouls in the Garden.
It was a bit embarrassing, actually.
Did I miss? I don't know what party you're talking about.
Paul McCartney after an award ceremony.
Okay.
After the Grammys. It was the Grammys after party, and it was literally these rappers, and I think they didn't know who he was.
I can see that.
But you would have got in, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you know, yeah. It's like, it's a different thing. But anyway, let's get on to the markets. nothing to do with the markets at all, that. Josh, the inflection point. We're at the inflection point, Dave.
The inflection. I think today is one of the biggest days within the markets that I've seen for a long time because of the rally that we've seen. It's kind of bringing us to a point where actually we could actually signal the beginning of the end, essentially, for the sell-off. Or we could see the sell-off happen once again. But I think because of the fact that we've seen this big rally this week, it's kind of brought us back to some massive, massive levels where if we get them broken, then all of a sudden things start to look a little bit more
bullish. Is this going to be a technical correlation or correction? Or, as we talked about before, how serious is this Brexit?
I don't think Brexit's got anything to do with it at the moment, quite honestly. I think, you know, the whole story, everything seemed to be about oil. As long as oil is sort of in the right direction, it's pulling everything up.
Yeah, we'll do Brexit another time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
might have to be a while until that actually really hits the markets.
That hits the fan. correlation crucial to a rally. Let's have a look at that.
Indeed. Yeah. So this is the FTSE. This is something that I've been talking with you guys for a while, that we've got this sort of clear rounding off pattern. And I've got two circles here to highlight the fact that we are in exactly the same position the last two times that we've seen the market sell off, i.e. it's come just up above that 50-day SMA. We've seen that one green candle close above it, then that second red candle closes back below it. We are in that second day now. So whether we have a big day towards the downside today, that could possibly set us up for yet another big move towards the downside.
I know what's going to happen. I've just realised.
What's
that? It's going to be a repeat of the October move. Where you had the rally, got the same candles there,
yeah.
But then rather than just going straight back down again, which we did on the other times since then,
what you think
we top out because
just have to annoy everyone.
Yes, to annoy everyone.
Yeah.
Until March, let's say that's going to be a month annoying everybody. You'll have everybody going short and thinking
everyone's
and
excited,
and they're getting long and they get nailed. So that's the thing. So it's just that this was too easy, and the market's got to get the money back. So that was too easy there. And they just had that sideways flow. But it's I think going straight up is probably the least.
Bear in mind that happened within the middle of this. So that was at the turning point of this whole formation, whereas this is at the back end of this formation. So you'd think there'd be choppy in the middle, rounded on the top, and then choppy on the way back down. Mm. So that's the difference between then
and now. It's just, you know, it's one of those conundrums that only people in the market find interesting and nobody else really does.
Yeah, I don't think my grandmother would be that attuned.
Yeah, I think they stopped listening after the first few words. But
so
this is at 60.24 as well, bear in mind. 60.24 is that big support level from back in November. So if there's any area that we could possibly turn around, I think it's here. We've got that trend line resistance. We've got the fact that we've just seen that close up above the 50-day SMA. We've got that 60.24. There is the potential for a bearish reversal. Of course, if we close back up above that previous peak at the beginning of February, then it starts to look like actually this big sell-off.
But I mean, just from a strategic point of view, I mean, just would you play it long until blown out on the short side, or would you start going short?
I would personally look at other markets. This is why I've got a couple other markets looking at. Look at the Dow.
I like that answer.
Look at the
Dow. It feels very strongly both
that
ways.
That wasn't an answer. That
I would go short this market based on what's happening with the Dow, because that gives you a much clearer stop
loss. Let's have a look at that.
So I think that's
always
the next
keen to learn.
Exactly right.
Even at this age.
Okay, so this is Brent. The order's a little bit skewed. Yeah. Essentially, of course, I was saying before, oil essentially is leading everything at the moment. So if we see a big break higher in oil, of course, that's going to drag all the indices higher and that will take out those big key levels. Oil is at a key sort of area of resistance. You can see that previous high at the back end of January essentially sets us up for a possible what I call a failure swing. So failure swing for people using stochastics is generally, so if we see something here, you know, it's when you see it break down into oversold and then it tries to rally back up, tries to then break back into oversold again, fails to do that and then rallies. So it's the same kind of thing. It's a failure to create a new low. The break of that neckline around about 36.74, if we get a close up above there, then that starts to look like actually we're going to see a recovery. And it looks like very similar to what we've seen here before. It tried to create that new low, higher low, then it tried to break the neckline, didn't do so, and then led to another low. So we could see the same kind of thing here if we break that higher.
I guess, how important was the dramatic decline here in reference to looking at 1 or 2 years? For the simple fact is, if you're an airline, if you're a shipping company, this, that, and the other, I mean, there was a huge amount of 1 year futures buying, okay?
Yeah.
And it was the same, it was probably the same people who we saw when crude oil took out 147 plus, right? Massive amount of 1 and 2 year selling at an average price of about 82. So do you think that would have had any simple factors? As I say, if you're an airline and you can buy, you know, 1 year Brent crude below $30 a barrel, that's a fairly profitable trade.
You would think so. I mean, look, ultimately people tend to lock in prices.
Yes.
You know, and people, of course, this has been going on for some time now, and therefore people are going to start falling out of contracts and start wanting to get new contracts.
Right.
I think this is probably quite a decent area to be buying in terms of a very long term.
Yes.
For a company.
And we're talking about legitimate buying, not speculators,
exactly.
Not hedge funds, not guys who are trading minute to minute to minute.
Yeah, you would think so. But, you know, the trend is towards the downside. So it depends on who's actually making those decisions as to whether they're going to be buying or not. But
get on to the Dow.
Yeah, okay. So the Dow, okay,
on
here we go.
Hooks.
Double bottom level. So we have hit earlier today 165.113. That is the neckline of a double bottom formation. We get a close up above there. That starts to look very bullish and starts to point towards a target of 175.72. Now, bear in mind the fact that we've got different correlations within markets. So, you know, I've got that key level on the FTSE to be watching out for. And therefore, if we see this, that could possibly lead us into that move in the FTSE. But if we see this level respected in the Dow, then that leads me to believe that actually we could start to see this turn lower. And because of the fact that we have such a clearly defined level that needs to be broken, that means you've got a very good risk to reward because of the fact that I know 165.113 just above there is pretty much it for me. And then all of a sudden, all bets are off in terms of a short. But towards the downside, we could quite easily drop down to 150.600. So that's why I find this particularly interesting, and because of the fact that we're at a pretty key level in terms of the FTSE, I think both of them.
I think the only other thing is that, which we don't want to pander to Bill's agenda here, but really the market's realised that the Fed aren't, you know, they've backtracked on or U-turned on their interest rate rising policy. And that's it, really. It's just going to be just, it's a rally.
So with the technicians,
that's, potentially, you know, potentially. But, you know,
Just wait another day or two and see whether it pans out.
Look at how it pans out, and especially I look at the short-term time frames. If I start to see, in terms of even like a 30-minute chart, a tiny little head and shoulders formation at that major resistance point, that's the kind of thing that I like to trade, rather than just blindly saying, here's a big level, I'm going to go short or long it.
Yeah.
I like to see in terms of short-term
time frames. For some of our watch, I mean, the fact is, whether you're trading 10-minute charts, 30-minute charts, one-month charts, six-month charts, and I think that's what makes it very difficult. For the simple fact is, one algorithm may be 10 minutes, one algorithm may be, you know, 30 minutes or one day. So therefore, you could have any number of trades based on the timing.
Yeah, completely. I mean, one person could be long right now, one person could be short.
Yes.
They can both be right depending on what time frame they're looking at, really.
And the gap here, does that say anything to you? Because, I mean, that for me is like, with the gap on that side,
it's
heading higher.
Yeah, well, depends really. I mean, look, ultimately it's not like a breakaway gap or a runaway gap. It's sort of within a sideways market at
the time. It's we didn't make a new low gap.
Yeah.
So like a Barney and Clyde gap.
And look, bearing in mind that these charts are from IG, and IG generally runs markets throughout the night, and therefore you don't get as many gaps. So that would be weekend data.
Right.
Okay. So there would be more gaps if you were to take out the sort of overnight hours and stuff. So it is important, but I'm sure there are other.
The other thing, just the other final point, just the divergence between the US markets, obviously much stronger than the FTSE. How significant is that for you? Is it just to do with the resources being in the bin and FTSE dragged down by that, or is there anything else there that people think the US is a better place to be?
I think it's probably proximity to what's going on in terms of the Eurozone. Look at what's happened in terms of the UK, and the US are probably in decent shape. Eurozone is probably one of the big trouble areas.
Also, could it be, we're talking about Dow 30 or FTSE 100, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, the Dow having very heavy in banks and very heavy in commodities, where more a general economy for the Dow.
Yeah, and FTSE, a lot of energy companies. Mm. This is gold. What I find interesting about gold is we've seen this big break towards the upside. We've seen it take out 1191, which is the absolutely crucial level that I need to be seeing taken out for me to start becoming bullish in terms of the medium term. Bearing in mind, all of a sudden, everyone says this big correlation's back, i.e., you know, if the market starts selling off, then people pile into gold and vice versa. We did see a little bit of a move lower, well, quite a sizable move lower, you know, a few days ago. But look at what's been happening ever since. The past 3 days, we've seen markets flatline in terms of gold, and that's in the face of massive rallies in terms of equities. So you would think that gold should be selling off heavily. And the fact that it hasn't done so, and especially the fact that it's bottomed out at 1191, to me means that there's quite a lot of resilience within gold. And certainly, if we did start to see some of those indices turn lower and oil turning lower, I think we'd see a massive move higher in terms of gold because of the fact that it's managed to withstand the big rally that we've seen in terms of equities. And therefore, I think that there's some underlying resilience.
This is pointing the way, really, to further equity weakness, isn't it?
If anything at all. But, you know, I think that gold's going to take the lead. Gold is going to follow on from them. I don't think that equities are particularly going to be following what happens in gold. So it's just interesting that it's actually had such resilience, despite the fact that we've seen this selling elsewhere. So if we did see sell-off in terms of equities, I think gold would be...
Again, a very silly question. Physical gold, okay? I mean, we've seen interest rates at multi-year lows, so it's very easy. I mean, if interest rates were 3%, 4%, 5%, and we're costing you 6% or 7% to warehouse gold, I mean...
Yeah.
I'm sure that has got to be a determining factor. It's costing you nothing to warehouse physical gold.
There's a lot of people unwinding positions as well. It's been such a, you know, I think, you know, no one's particularly been bullish gold, and all of a sudden it's starting to spike higher in a very convincing way. Even myself, you know, it's been years since I've thought to myself, oh, I might buy gold. All of a sudden I thought, oh, maybe I should buy a couple of bars of gold. Not that I know how much that costs. It probably costs a hell of a lot of money. But, you know, ultimately, it's starting to look all of a sudden like quite a good long-term play. So.
Okay, well, Josh Mahoney, market analyst for IG Index, and a man who's off to Ratner's just as soon as the programme finishes. Thank you very much for coming in today.